If you will, please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, for the text of our lesson this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's the text of our lesson. We're really going to spend the entirety of the lesson developing the application and the meaning of that text. A number of years ago, I was talking with a preacher who is a friend of mine. Actually, at one point in my life, he was my teacher. He made the statement that it's only in the relationship to the church, to the local church he would be talking about, that we have to have scriptural authority for what we do. And I was young as a preacher at that time, and I had to think that over. I wasn't sure he was right, but I wasn't sure he was wrong. Well, I thought it over. He's wrong. That's just not true. The necessity of having scriptural authority for what we do is applicable to every relationship of life. And the authority of Jesus Christ covers every aspect of our lives and is sufficient to guide us in every aspect of our lives. There's no part of your life, no part of my life, that is not directly and vitally touched by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now we want to first of all talk about what that means to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then we're going to talk about how we do it, and then we'll make the applications to the various parts of our life to which it does apply. And I believe we will find that it does indeed apply to every part of our life. And that actually we could lead from this into a study of simply how to live in order to please the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to please God, because every part of our life is covered by this. That phrase, in the name of, has the primary meaning of, and this is from Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words, it has the primary meaning of in recognition of the authority of. An example of that is found in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John had healed the lame man at the Gate Beautiful in Jerusalem, and they were preaching salvation in the name of Christ, and they were summoned before the Jewish council, and the Jewish council didn't know what to do with them, and they were able to actually put to silence those great Jewish leaders, those men of Jewish jurisprudence. But nonetheless, they withdrew and they set Peter and John aside. They discussed it for a while and then they came back. And what they told Peter and John to do, and all of the apostles actually, is recorded in Acts chapter 4, verse 18, where it says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." Now let me ask you a question. Were they telling them not to say the name Jesus? Well, you see, that's obviously not what they were saying. That would be absurd. In fact, they would have violated their own command in giving them the command when they said, don't speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But obviously what they're commanding them is, don't you speak by the authority of Jesus. Don't you tell that you're telling people that Jesus is the authority behind what you're saying. So there's an obvious example of the use of this phrase in the name of, and specifically in the name of Jesus, that it means to speak by His authority, to claim authority from Him for the things that we do and the things that we say. Now this gets back to the necessity of having authority for what we do. It's been over a year ago now. I was invited to go up to Manhattan, New York, to preach a local congregation up there on the subject of authority. But the brethren recognized that folks in New York don't like the word authority. And they wanted to sneak it in on, very frankly, is what they wanted to do. And they wanted me to talk about this matter of authority, but use some different terminology. And I had to do an old Texas two-step. and just every way in the world of saying, you've got to have authority from the Lord Jesus Christ for what you do, without saying that, because they didn't want to turn off the folks there in Manhattan. Well, I don't know whether it accomplished it or not, but I'm here to tell you, you have to have authority from the Lord for what you do. The Lord has authority. First of all primary authority. Primary has to do with where it all originated, where it came from. All primary authority resides in God, because God made all things. It's just that simple. He made all things. He owns all things. And He has the right to tell us what to do in every area of our lives. The Apostle Paul talked about this to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17. You remember that context, I hope, in Acts chapter 17, where the Apostle Paul had come to the city of Athens, and he was reasoning with folks in the market, and some of the philosophers invited him up to the Areopagus, Mars Hill, where the philosophers got to together to discuss some new thing. And Paul reasoned with them about the one true and living God that they didn't know about. And he said, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I declare to you, God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Now I want to get that last verse, verse 24. God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth. Back well over a century ago, a man named Alexander Graham Bell went into the patent office and he patented a device whereby people could talk over a wire at a distance, even though they couldn't shout loud enough to hear each other. They could talk through that device and it'd be carried by a wire to another person that had a device. That's called a telephone, isn't it? And he put it in and got a patent on the telephone. Now, I'm told that he beat another fellow to the patent office by about 15 minutes. But because he got there first, he was the one who invented the telephone. He got the patent on the telephone. Then the company that followed, until it was broken up by the Supreme Court a number of years ago, was called Bell Telephone Company, wasn't it? Because Alexander Graham Bell invented that device, and he's the one that got to control that device until the Supreme Court said it was a monopoly and they broke it up because of monopolizing the industry. But the point is, he made it, he invented it, it belongs to him, he got to control it and get the benefits of it. God made the world and all things in the world. And so guess who controls the world and all things in the world? Guess who has the right to tell us what to do in every aspect of our lives? God has all authority. He is Lord. That word Lord means ruler. He's Lord, ruler of heaven and earth. He owns it. He controls it. He's the one who has the right to tell us what to do. And by the way, that shows the foolishness of anybody who believes that the Bible is the Word of God and would actually say, well, I know the Bible says, but I think. Well, if the Bible says, you better not be thinking anything except, how can I do what the Bible tells me to do? If He says, but I think, you've said three words too many. You said one word too many when you use that word, but. Whatever the Lord says, He's ruler of heaven and earth, and we have to do what He says. But He has given all authority to His Son, Christ Jesus, as Brother James recognized in his prayer this morning. That's exactly right. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, by way of giving the introduction to the Great Commission, the authority by which Jesus gave the Great Commission, He told His apostles, as Matthew records it, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus has all authority. He has it all in heaven. He has it all in earth. He has the right to tell us what to do in every aspect of our lives. And by the way, I don't care what you think about, well, actually I do care, but regardless of what you think about the subject of authority, you and I had better get down off our high horses and stop putting ourselves on the throne of our hearts and recognize that Christ rules. He rules the universe. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we must submit to His authority. We must submit to His will. Now, how do we do that? Well, we must do everything by the authority of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, verse 17. This is our text. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what does that have to do from the standpoint of application? How can we apply this fact that we have to do all in the name, that is, by the authority of Jesus Christ? Well, it means that we must, everything that we say has to be authorized, is covered by the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, it is particularly true in what we tell people to do in order to be saved. If I'm telling you from this pulpit something that you need to do in order to please the Lord, I better be telling you what the Lord says about it, not what I think about it. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, Peter said, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. That word oracles means that which is declared by God. Let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the praise, the glory, the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Whatever I speak, I must speak as the oracles of God. It has to be in harmony with what God says. By the way, when I stand in this pulpit and call myself a preacher of the gospel, and I'm telling folks what they need to do in order to please the Lord, if I can't give you book, chapter, and verse, then you don't listen to it. You have the right to say, book, chapter, and verse, please, preacher. Where did you find that? I don't have the right to stand in the class and give you my opinions. I don't have the right to stand in this pulpit and give you just what I think about things. I better be able to put my finger on the verse that teaches it. If I can't put my finger on the verse that teaches it, I don't have the right to speak it. That is true from every pulpit. That should be true in every Bible class. We must do all by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we say is covered by His authority. By the way, what I say on a day-to-day basis, it must be in harmony with the will of Christ. Furthermore, all that I do, my deeds are covered. Everything that I do is covered by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we do as a church, certainly, but what I do as an individual is covered by the Lord Jesus Christ. In James chapter 1, verse 22, James tells us, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And I just hear what Christ says and I don't do anything about it, but I think I'm all right with the Lord, I'm deceiving myself. It's not good enough just to know what Jesus teaches. I must do what He teaches. So I must speak by His authority. I must act by His authority. And there's different ways that Jesus shows us what we are to do. We are to do everything in the way that He directs in His Word. In Matthew chapter 28, again, go back to verses 18 through 20. And this is Matthew's record of the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe some of what I've said, as much of what I said as your preacher says is necessary, and he can read from the Greek. Is that what it says? As much as your church creed says you have to do, is that what it says? Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I had a debate over in Piggott, Arkansas many years ago. And the preacher was opposing the necessity of water baptism for the remission of sins. And he asked me, well, Mr. Sharp, how many of all the commands of God do we have to do in order to be saved? He thought that was a hard question. I think it's one of the easiest questions I've ever asked in my life. I just turned to Matthew chapter 28. Teaching them to observe as much as your creed says is essential. Teaching them to observe, what does it say? All things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We must observe everything that Jesus teaches us to do in every area of life, all of my life is covered by the authority of Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate example in the way that He lived that I should live. Some time ago, I taught a series of lessons here on Sunday afternoon on Jesus, our example. And I did the same thing here I'd done up in northern New York a number of years ago. I finally decided, I think folks are getting tired of this. I never did run out of different ways that I could see from the Scriptures themselves, of ways that we are to follow Jesus in His example. I finally decided I just got to move on to a different subject. In Luke chapter 6, verse 40, we're told by Jesus Himself, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. In the way that I live my life on a daily basis, what is my ultimate goal? What am I striving to accomplish in my daily life? I'm trying to be more and more like Jesus every day. And every day that you get up, you ought to think, how can I be more like Jesus today? How can I walk more in His footsteps, more in the way Jesus lived while He was upon this earth? I want to be more and more like my Master. And thus, the way that Jesus lived while upon this earth, that's the way that we ought to be living. And to do only the things that He authorizes us to do in His Word. In 2 John, verse 9, whoever transgresses... The old American Standard Version has that whoever goes onward, or goeth onward, it has the uths in the old American Standard Version. Whoever goeth onward, and that's literally what that word transgresses means. Whoever goes onward and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, that word doctrine means teaching. It includes both the teaching about Christ and that which Jesus teaches. Anybody who goes beyond the teaching about Christ in the New Testament and what Jesus Himself taught, anyone who goes beyond that has not God. Every step I take without authority from the Lord Jesus Christ is a step taken without God and away from God and toward eternal condemnation. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now, what is included in that word all? Back in our text, Colossians 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, the word all is a comprehensive word. It covers everything. If there's any limitation to it, the limitation must be found in the context. Now, did you hear that? I want to repeat that. That's a very important principle. That word all is unlimited in its context. It is limited only by its context. If there's limitations to the all, I have to find the limitation in the context. Well, all right. In the context, where Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is that limited just to our relationship to the church? It's an amazing thing. The local church is not even mentioned in that context. It's not even found. Now, I'm not denying that the principle applies to the local church, but it's not found in that context. If you go on reading, now Colossians 3:17 begins a new section, and the final section of the book of Colossians. And you read on from there, and the apostle makes application to our lives of what it means to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And what application does he make? Well, the first application he makes is the family relationship. Look what he says in Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 18 down through verse 21. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. You know, I'm going to get this book and read it. I've been told about a book that has been recommended to Christians, which tells us that the authority of Christ is not enough for wives and husbands to know how to behave toward each other. We need something beyond that. The New Testament, the will of Christ, is not enough. Well, that's not what Paul said about in Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then what does he do? He makes application of the husband-wife relationship. Now, I'm going to tell you, do you know why brethren are teaching that? Because they don't want to apply what Paul says in Colossians 3:18 through 21. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And I don't care about this women's liberation movement. I don't care what about some people call evangelical feminism. Yes, that's arrived in the Lord's church. I don't care what people say that have fallen prey to that. Well, I pray, care only from this standpoint that the false doctrine has to be answered. We're under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You wives, you're under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He tells you to submit to your own husbands. But now, husbands, He tells you something to do too. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be bitter toward them. Don't you hold a grudge against your wife. You love your wife, biblical love, where you a self-sacrificial love, where you do what is best for them, and you even sacrifice yourself for them, and you don't hold a grudge against them. Now, no, husbands, you can't do those things. You can't hold a grudge against your wife. You can't be selfish in relationship to your wife. You must love your wife and not be bitter. Why? Because Jesus Christ said so. It's covered by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Children, obey your parents. Now, children, are you listening? Why should you obey your parents? Because they're bigger and stronger than you? That's not really not the reason. They are, but that's not the reason. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. As long as the parents tell you something to do that is in harmony with the will of God, you do it without questioning. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said so. And He has all authority in heaven and on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Fathers, don't do those things that because children become exasperated and irritated and become discouraged in trying to please you. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said so. You abuse your headship, and Christ, your head, will not hear your prayers. So, the family, and more, there's so much, of course, we can talk about every family relationship. The way that wives talk about their husbands and fail to honor them, and the way that husbands talk about their wives and fail to honor them. All of those things are covered by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behave the right way because the Lord Jesus Christ says so. By the way, not only does it cover the family relationship, but my computer froze up, so we'll preach the... Oh, we finally got to the next one. It also covers the business relationship. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, down through chapter 4, verse 1. And this talks about the business relationship, bond servants. Now, we don't have bond servants around today. We have employees and employers. But the principle remains the same. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, it heartily ask the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there's no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair. Employers, give your employees what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You working for a boss, you give him the best you've got to give. You be the best employee he has. And you do it whether he's there seeing what you do, or whether he's off on a trip and doesn't have a clue what you're doing. You be the best employee he has. Bosses, you treat your employees right. You treat them with fairness and justice. Why? Because you have a master in heaven. Why should the employee do the best job he can do, whether the employer's there or not? Because there's a master in heaven seeing what you do. And that boss may not pay you what you're worth, but your master in heaven will. In fact, he'll pay you more than you're worth. He'll be gracious in towards you. And so the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ covers the workplace. It covers our business relationship. And we can go on to make application. You know, you're trying to sell something and somebody doesn't know how much it's worth, and you take him in. No, you take him. and because you knew how much it was worth, and he didn't. He thought it was worth less than that, and so forth. Don't cheat anybody. Always be honest and upright. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is over every relationship of life. He's over our relationship in the business realm. And He's over our relationship in the community, in our relationship to our friends and neighbors, the people around us. How should I live toward my neighbors? my neighbors are just, maybe they're just ungodly people that drink and cuss and carry on, and so I could just live any old way I want to before them. Is that right? No, it's not right, because the Lord Jesus Christ is over me in my relationship to my friends and neighbors in the community. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. In Ephesians, he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We live in an evil age. And so buy back the time that you have in this evil, that's what the word redeeming means. Buy back the time that you have in this evil age by walking in wisdom toward those who are outside, letting your light so shine they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, as Jesus Himself says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. So the authority of Jesus Christ, in the very context where Paul says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, in that very immediate context, it covers family relationship, it covers business relationship, it covers social relationship. Now, in other passages, not in this immediate passage, we see that it covers other relationships. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, and by the way, if you want to read the whole context, it goes down through verse 7. But we'll just get Romans chapter 13, verse 1 for sake of time. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Do you like the speed limit on the highway? Do you think they're set too low? Don't you think that they ought to set the speed limits higher? Well, I do too, but guess what? Didn't make any difference. Didn't ask me. Didn't ask you either, did they? The state legislature sets the highway speed limit, and that's the governing authorities. And how fast should I drive? Well, not any faster than the speed limit. Because that's open. Now, all that just stepped on my toes. Everybody else is here to drive, didn't it? But that's what we must do, because the authority of Jesus Christ covers me in relationship to civil government. And as long as civil government does not demand of me what the Lord says is wrong, or as long as it doesn't forbid me to do what the Lord tells me to do, then I've got to follow civil government. I've got to submit myself to the law of the land, because that is a way that I submit myself to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. His authority is over me in my relationship to civil government. And yes, His authority is over me in relationship to the church. Because He's not only head over all things, He's also head over all things to the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And He put all things under His feet. Now that all is unlimited there. That's what God has done for Christ. God has put all things under the feet of Christ. Now in addition to that, and made Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Christ is head over all things, every area of my life. All the nations of the world, He rules them with a rod of iron. Christ rules whether people recognize Him or not. The Muslims may think that He was just a prophet, but that doesn't matter so far as the fact that Christ rules over them. The infidels, the atheists may think He was just a good teacher, but that doesn't matter as far as the fact Christ rules over them. Christ rules all things, and specifically, He is head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So in the local church, which is the organized expression of God's people, the local church. In this relationship, we must have authority from the Lord Jesus Christ for everything that we do. A number of years ago, my wife and I had just moved to northern New York. And there were just five of us at that time who were Christians meeting together in our home. And on Wednesday nights, we would go over to a local church that was institutional and worship with them and trying to make contacts and find some people that are willing to be taught. And I was sitting in that Bible class one Wednesday night, auditorium, adult Bible class, and the man was teaching through Colossians, and he was in Colossians 3, and I'm just hoping he's going to get to verse 7. I'm just hoping he gets to verse 17 before he quit. And just before he quit, he read Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And he closed his Bible and said, that means we ought to give thanks to God in everything. I raised my hand. I said, does that mean we have to have authority from Christ for everything that we do? You never saw such a Texas two-step in all your life. As he tried to talk his way around the fact, you've got to have authority from the Lord Jesus Christ for everything that you do. And that's true in every aspect of life. And that's primarily, you know, that giving thanks in His name is almost an afterthought. And it's true. We do give thanks in His name. But the primary point that Paul is making is, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of, by the authority of, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our ruler. And one day, He's going to be our judge. We're going to have to stand before Him in judgment. In John chapter 5, verses 26 through 29, Jesus Himself, while walking upon this earth, said, for as the Father has life in Himself, so has He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming which all who are in the grave shall hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good of the resurrection of life, those who have done evil of the resurrection of condemnation. Jesus is my King. He's your King too. Whether you submit to Him or not, He's your King. He rules the world. He rules the world in justice and in grace. He wants you to come to Him and to be a Christian, to be saved, and go to heaven when this life is over. But one day He's coming again. And when He's coming again, He's not coming as Savior. He's coming as Judge. He came the first time as Savior. And He gives the invitation, come to Me, all you are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He wants to save you now. And if you'll submit to Him by faith in Him, believing that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and then repenting of your sins, confessing with your mouth your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, being immersed, baptized in water, for the remission of your sins, you'll be baptized into Him. You'll be a Christian. You'll be submitted to His will, and then walk by His will now. One day He's returning, and He's going to be the judge, and we're going to stand before Him, and He's going to judge you on the basis of His Word, the Word of God, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do not want to have said to me what many will have said to them on that last great day, Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Many, not just a few, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Notice, in Your name, they're claiming to do it by His name. In Your name. Cast out demons in Your name. Done many wonders in Your name. They claim to do it all in His name. When you claim to do it in His name, you're claiming He authorized you to do it. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you. Now the old King James says, you workers of iniquity. That's fine. But that word iniquity means exactly as it's translated to the New King James, you who practice iniquity. Lawlessness. You who do those things that are not authorized in the Word of God. If I've been acting without the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. My friends, there's not anything you can imagine that's any worse than that. Just a moment, we'll stand together and sing number 330. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't submitted to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can become a Christian today. If you are a Christian and you've turned into sin, you've done those things that you need to make right, you can let us know about it. We'll assist you in any way that we can. We invite you to come while together we stand, while we sing.